Blog Talk Radio.
Credit card was used
during the previous administration, not a credit card bill has to be paid. And so because Congress can't seem to want to work with this president and want to cooperate with him, you know, we wind up being in the shape that we're in. So the sequester, to me, is, you know, across-the-board cut, you know, which, you know, can work detrimentally to the economic growth that this country so desperately needs. So, you know, the country is still in a recovery. People still need jobs. Companies still need to, you know, to get back on their feet. And then, you know, then they let something like this happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's totally uncalled for.
Now, it says 2013 is dealt with differently. There are no discretionary caps. Rather, cuts made regardless of Congress appropriation levels. Our interpretation is that this will include OCO. Let's resolve by September. Agencies will have to begin their fiscal years with a high level of uncertainty about their funding, which we already know. This is already April 7th. So I'm thinking, according to this, they have until September.
Well, the new,
this year.
The new budget.
I also want to say this is cost $216 billion. The $1 trillion will come from assumed interest savings. Okay, that's wait. Just one more second, Mr. Flack. Therefore, cuts are evenly divided between each of the 9 sequester years. Therefore, each year OMB must sequester $109 billion from projected spending. Annual cuts are split evenly between the non-exempt portion of defense, non-defense, $55 billion to each. And like you were talking about, these are people who are most mandatory spending is exempt from the sequester. That's what they're saying. They're saying this is exempt. Do you believe this, including Social Security, retirement programs, veterans benefits, refundable tax credit, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, which is CHIP, unemployment insurance, food stamps, which is SNAP, temporary assistance for needy families, TANF, and a host of other credits, mostly those benefit individuals with low income. Now, Medicare is subject to the sequester in the form of provider payment cuts. But those cuts cannot exceed 2%. Now, they're trying to make it sound good. But anyway, you cut it, $1.2 trillion is a lot of money. You hear? You understand what I'm saying,
yeah.
Minister Flack?
Right.
That's a lot of money. Do you believe these programs are exempt?
According to the law, when the president signed the bill, that makes it law. So those are some of the programs that you made mention of that are exempt. There are others, too. Veterans benefits are exempt. And military pay and pensions are exempt. And so this is to continue to support in, you know, in an effort to continue supporting the troops that are still in war zones.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to degrade morale by taking away people's pay. And I thought what was interesting, you know, the federal workers in this country, too, are experiencing furloughs because, you know, the FAA is having to cut back. All these governmental agencies are having to cut back through furloughs and reduce costs. So it's putting a damper on people's paychecks because, you know, these
yes.
are, you know, this is time
working
off.
Working class people, the middle class people is
right.
who is really hurting because if you're poor, I mean,
you're
already poor, you're already suffering. But when you're working for everything you got, and poor people work too, they just can't get assistance because they may be a few hundred dollars above the poverty line. You know what I'm saying?
Well, those programs aren't supposed to be affected.
They are?
They're not supposed to be affected. They are not supposed to be.
But I'm just thinking about the people $300 or $400 above the poverty line. That is wrong, and you know they're going to be affected by this. People
well,
who
nobody
are
ever
for seven and a quarter an hour.
Nobody ever said that this was fair. So that's why it's so important for us to always exercise our right to vote. You know, we need to vote for people that have our best interests at heart rather than big business or particular constituent base like Tea Party or whatever the case may be, rich people or whatever. You know, these people are going to put their special interest out there. So, you know, by us, you know, being lackadaisical or saying that our vote doesn't matter anyway, you know, your vote does matter. So, you know, we have to put people in office and try to elect people that will represent our best interests at heart, whether you're poor or of a certain ethnic group or whether you're middle class or even whether you're rich. You know, you're going to vote for people that have your best interests at heart. So I think what's interesting about what the president has done, as well as the Secretary of Defense, you know, they're going to give some of their money back.
5%, isn't it?
To say 5% to say that, you know, we're in this with you. You know, it's not right for me as a leader of the country or as a leader of a particular departmental agency to say, well, I expect you guys to take pay cuts and I still keep my salary. So, you know, it's all part of we're in this thing together. You know, but you don't see the other members of Congress buying into that. You know, they can be very cruel in how they enact laws and measures.
Yes, they're very cruel. So
it's like I know one congressman said, well, we can vote ourselves pay raises, but we don't vote ourselves pay decreases. Okay, you're Congress.
Wasn't
you
it Bonner? Did I pronounce his name right?
Yeah, the Speaker of the House, Speaker of the House, Boehner, John Boehner.
Boehner. Thank you for correcting me. Boehner, Mr. Boehner.
I mean, you know, you if you vote yourself something, you can always unvote yourself something. But, you know, it's a matter of not wanting to do it.
Not want to do it. That is correct. Now, it's interesting that you were talking about the 5% that President Obama and other men gave back. What office did he hold?
The Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
President Kennedy back years ago, he was already rich, right? President Kennedy
Who?
Was. President Kennedy was already
right.
rich. Did you know that he gave 100% of his salary back?
Right. Another president gave back some of their salaries to President Hoover. He gave all of his presidential salary to a charity, too. Because, you know, these men were wealthy, and even George Washington, the father of the country, he refused a salary. He was the first president. So there's a, you know, you could even Google that president who gave their salary back and
mm-hmm.
find that. So I think it's commendable that, you know, these presidents were great leaders and great leaders.
The fact they give anything back is the fact
right.
they give any amount back is good.
Well, I think what they're saying to the people are that, you know, I can't lead you if I don't feel what you're feeling, okay? I can't lead you by being isolated from you and not feeling the pain that you're feeling. So
yes.
it goes a long way. It really does.
Okay.
You have to lead by example, you know, and of course that's a good example to lead from. I'm in this with you.
Yes.
Secretary Hagel is his name.
Secretary Hagel, okay. Again,
mm-hmm.
I'm reading the Bipartisan Policy Center, explain the sequester, explain. And it talks about the real level of program cuts is $984 billion. I think I already read this. This is because $216 billion of the $1.2 trillion will come from assumed interest savings. Now, they're saying $1.2 trillion, but then they said the real level of program cuts is $984 billion. Now, $1.2 trillion is a staggering amount.
Well, I think you're spreading $1.2 trillion out over 10 years.
10 years, yes.
Yeah. So the $84 billion is what is going to be sequestered from the time the law was signed into effect this year until September 30th of this year. That's when the federal fiscal year ends.
Yes.
So in that amount of time, the savings will amount to $84 billion some odd dollars. And the president will have put in $20,000 of his salary because he makes $400,000 a year, so 5% of that is $20,000. So if October 1st, is the new fiscal year for the federal government. That's when the new budget is supposed to come in, but Congress hasn't approved the budget. So they the recent activity they did was approving a continuing spending resolution to keep the government functioning until September 30th of this year. But we still don't have a budget.
So they postponed it. It's supposed to start January 2nd of 2013, but they have postponed it until March 1st.
They postponed what?
They ignored the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012.
Okay.
And let me get this straight. Under across-the-board cuts that were originally scheduled to begin on January 2nd, 2013, under provisions specified by the Budget Control Act of 2011, BCA, have now been postponed to March 1st. Now, March 1st is already passed. Then they postponed it again. If I'm understanding, just following the enactment of the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, which is ATRA, the end of the 112th Congress. And just a few weeks later, the continuing resolution, so that is currently funding the federal government, will expire on March 27th. Now, March 27th is already passed, as we both know. It's already 27th, 2015.
The question is already in place. It's already taking place. We haven't felt the full effects of it yet, and we may not feel the full effects if Congress decides to reverse the sequester. They have the ability
to do that. Yes, they can reverse
it,
but do you think they will?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say because you know they are basically basing their they base their decisions and their actions upon party versus the best interest of the country. If they would look after the best interest of the country rather than party or politics, then they would reverse the effects of it, because we don't need to stop this economic growth the country is experiencing. We don't need to stop that or put a hindrance in the way of it. And when people's paychecks start getting affected, then we're going to slow down economic growth. We're going to slow down job creation. We're going to slow down businesses, restructuring themselves to gear up for, more manufacturing or more sales or more business that they need to do.
Now, we the people have put these people in office. We're paying their salaries. We're paying their insurance. We're paying for their vacations. We, the people of America, are paying for everything for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they are earning a salary. They don't feel that they owe the American people very much.
No, they don't.
They don't feel that way. They don't feel, but yet they're getting their salaries. They're getting their food allowances. I believe they get food allowances. I believe they do. They're getting trips. They're getting vacations. They're getting new homes and things. They're not suffering.
No.
Not suffering. It's the people here in the United States of America that are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said we need to know more about, I'm putting it in my own words, what you said. We need to know more about the people we, the people of America, are putting in office. We, the people, do. That's true. No pardon, it's true. I mean, their agendas are almost, but not destructive, and only for themselves. And people who are like them. And that's not what America is made of. America is made up of more than 1% of the United States. Is this more than just that 1%? There are millions of people here.
Well, you're talking about the people that are the wealthiest. You're
yeah, the 1%.
That, so we used to say jokingly, it's the principle of the golden rule. And we're not talking about the biblical golden rule. It's whoever owns the gold rules. So, it's the people that have the money that are extremely wealthy controls the decision-making processes in this country. They control the influence because they can buy what they want. They can buy people. They can buy political influence. They can buy lobbyists. They can affect how we live in this country because they can take their wealth and buy what they want to please, their own constituent base. It's amazing, too, how a congressman goes into office, and I think their salaries are around $170,000 a year. But by the time they complete their first term of office, for a senator is 6 years, for a representative is 2 years, most of them come out to be multimillionaires. Because of all the money that goes under the table and all the gifts that they receive. So,
I'm not against wealthy people or even rich people. I'm not against them. You know, I'm not. I mean, if it's theirs, it's theirs. But if they're stealing it, it's wrong. There's no other way to say it. If they're stealing it, it's wrong. If the people they are representing, the country they are representing, are suffering, that is wrong. I know you just said, or nobody ever said, the sequester was right, but what's the answer for this? Do you have an answer for this?
Well, I think we need to be very mindful of who we vote for in as far as elected office is concerned. I know sometimes we don't have good choices all the time, but it's something we need to pray for. You know, even the Bible tells us to pray for those that are in leadership positions and that those that have the rule over us. And we have to be mindful that we have to pray for the leaders of our country all the way from the top down, you know, from the president down to the even to the local level, our mayors and local representatives that represent us in our states and local jurisdictions. So we have to pray for these individuals so that they make decisions and govern us so that we can live in prosperity and peaceably with one another. You know that they aren't cruel to the children and to the elderly people, to the poor people, those that that are handicapped and disabled. You know, we have to take care of those that can't take care of themselves. I mean, that's what a Christian nation is all about.
What about those who are not handicapped or disabled? What about those that I was talking about that are a few hundred dollars above the poverty line, cannot get food stamps, cannot receive that? I mean.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, I believe we still have to reach out to them some kind of way, you know, either through the local church or through local ministries or local programs that are available to help people. I mean, there are many layers of programs that can help people, not just governmental programs, but nonprofit organizations, you know, United Way, other organizations that are nonprofit based or church based. So, you know, they can't give up. You know, I don't think that they should try to give up in terms of seeking aid or assistance. It's out there. We just have to find it.
Okay.
If one door is closed, you know, try to look for an open door someplace.
Okay. You are right. And pray. Definitely pray.
Yep.
Times like these, you have to pray.
Because God will supply all
pray always.
According to his riches in glory. The God we serve is more than enough. He's more than able to provide for us, for our needs. A lot of times we don't have because we don't ask. And sometimes when we ask, we don't ask in the right way. So we need to pray and believe that our Heavenly Father is able to provide for his children. You know, in a natural world, a natural father would do what he can to provide for his children and his family. If he has to work two and three jobs. You know, so even Jesus made mention of one time. He said, don't you think your Heavenly Father knows how to take care of you? If your earthly fathers know how to give you a piece of bread, if you ask him for one, he does.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, you know, so we first have to do for ourselves, you know, as much as we can. But then let God, you know, when we reach our extreme, then God has to come in and take care of the rest. And he will.
Yeah. All right. This is breaking down the FY 2013 sequester. Total FY 2013 sequester cut is $85.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Defense cuts $42.7 billion. Now, years ago, I said about 25 years ago, if you had said $42.7 billion, It would have been, people would have been, you know, falling out, probably passing out for shock, you know, but it, they owe $42 billion out there, $42.7 billion, $1.2 trillion, like it's nothing, like it's water. I mean, it's staggering. Mm-hmm. Defense cuts, $42.7 billion, non-defense cuts, $42.7 billion. Discretionary cuts, $42.6 billion. Mandatory cuts, $0.1 billion. Discretionary cuts, $25.8 billion. 2% Medicare cuts, $11.3 billion. That's going to hurt people, right? That's hurting. Other mandatory cuts, $5.5 billion. Now, for 2000, according to this, the Bipartisan Policy Center, the total cuts for under sequester is $85.3 billion for 2013 of this year. That's a lot of money. Even though it's spread out over 10 years, that's a lot of money.
When you consider the size of the federal budget, though, which is over $3 trillion per year, it really is not that significant.
Okay,
the federal budget is over $3 trillion a year. So in 10 years, the government budget is going to be at least $30 trillion. And you're talking about reducing, they're talking about reducing the federal deficit by $1.2 trillion over 10 years. But that's not really that significant when you really look at it. But it is a step in the right direction. I just think it's the wrong step in the right direction.
It's a step in the right direction, but it's the wrong step in the right direction. Okay.
Yeah, because, well, you know, yes, we do need to try to get a balanced budget as much as we can, but it's not going to happen overnight. What was interesting is that when President Clinton left office, we had a budget surplus, and that budget surplus disappeared the first year of the Bush administration.
Yes, President Bush
so,
did do
you know,
a lot of damage.
Yeah, so the thing is,
I think he was very uncaring.
Yeah. You know, the same thing happened in the state of Texas. The state of Texas had a budget surplus when he was governor. After he was governor, they were $2 billion in the hole. So it's management style. It's the whole nine yards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't increase the size of government and reduce taxes and expect you to have a balanced budget. You can't do that. So the president's approach now is a two-layered approach. He wants
President Barack Obama, okay.
Right. He wants to bring in more revenue by taxing the wealthy in this country because they can afford to pay more and also reduce the cost that the government experiences every year.
And that's why they didn't sign it.
Pardon?
That's why they wouldn't go along with it.
Right, because they don't want to tax their rich friends.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of way, I mean, it's just like a household. If you're experiencing financial problems in your household, the first thing you have to do is try to reduce the money you spend.
The cable bill, for one thing. Some people have to eliminate the cable bill.
Or, you know, if you need cable, then you reduce the amount that you look at. You know, you don't need the Showtime, you don't need the HBO, you know, you can reduce your cost. Well, in the meantime, while you're reducing your cost, you ought to be looking at ways to create more income, too. You know, even if it means starting your own business or, you know, getting a second job, you know, that's the way most households do it. They say, I can get to where I need to be if it's financial independence or out of debt. I can get to where I'm going a lot faster if I do it by reducing costs and increasing income.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get there by just reducing your costs and keeping the same income, but it's going to take you longer to get there. And so I've known people that said, I'm going to take a temporary job until I get my credit cards paid down, get my car paid for, or whatever. And once they get those milestones achieved, then they can quit the second job because now they're at a place where they've learned their lessons and they say, okay, from now on, I'm not going to do silly stuff or stupid stuff any longer. I'm not going to go out and buy bling bling and all this kind of stuff on credit cards and run up a $30,000 credit card bill, which I've known people to do stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, they max out this credit card, they go get another one and max it out. And the next thing you know, they're way over debt.
Way over there, yes. I believe that's called irresponsible spending.
Well, it is. But so sometimes we need an educational process to help us get back on our feet, you know, the dangers of debt. You know, like if you, I've counseled many individuals who have gotten themselves into excessive debt, and they could just barely afford to pay the minimal monthly payment. And I said, well, if you pay the minimal monthly payment on this credit card, you'd be 80 years paying it off.
Yes.
You know, you're just barely paying the interest on it. And then when you pay it down by a certain amount, you go out and buy more stuff. So you're never going to get ahead like this.
Yes, that is true. It also says most FY 2013, that's this year, sequester cuts fall on the smallest pieces of the budget. So we really haven't been hit yet. Mandatory, $2 billion, over $2 billion, $120,000 cuts. Domestic secretary, domestic discretionary, excuse me, cuts $600 billion. Tax expenditures $1,340,000. Defense discretionary $700 billion. You know, so taxes. You say it's not a lot, though. It's not a whole lot if you think about it over a period of time. But to me, it's a lot. To me, it is. Because I can remember back 15, 20 years ago, and with the economy the way it is, with gas as high as it is, inflation, you know, look at the cost of milk. Look at the cost of hamburger meat. Where I'm from, hamburger meat is either $10.95, $11.95, or $12.95.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's high. Milk is $4 and $5. Milk is $4 and $5 a gallon. Gas is like $3.69, $3.65 a gallon. That's considered low compared to other parts of the country. So
I'm not disagreeing with you when you say that seems a lot of money. I'm just saying when you look at it from a perspective, it's really not a lot of expenditure. When you consider $1.2 trillion versus $30 trillion over that same 10-year time frame. I mean, it's the way it's done that's going to be hurtful to, you know, most Americans because it's across-the-board cut. It has no discretion as to how the cuts are going to occur. So, it's a small drop in the bucket, but at least it's putting us going in the right direction. I just think the methodology is wrong. That's how they're doing it.
How would you do it? How would you do it?
I think some programs are off the table. I think, retirement programs should be off the table. I think, the money that we set aside for education in this country should be off the table. I think money set aside for... Spending too much on what?
On prisons. They spend more on prisons than they are education.
Part of that education process is getting, paying for pre-K and helping parents with daycare and, you know, what's the other program that you put children in when they're young like that?
Head Start.
The president's right. We should start with the least of our population, which are the children, and try to guide them in the right direction so that we're not populating our prisons with young people. We put programs in place to help them learn, to help them, get geared for their future rather than, you know, being thuggish and being criminals. And then we have to take money from the education process and put it into the prison system.
I don't think
we should mess with education in this country because we're already far behind other other industrialized nations.
That is true.
As to how,
that is
how
true.
We educate
the
our children
from Pakistan. Now,
right.
I'm not naming. I'm not being. Not trying to be discriminatory. But if you look, I'm going to name this country Pakistan. A lot of those people that come from that country legally, especially legally, I'm pretty sure most of them do. That come from Pakistan are doctors, lawyers,
mm-hmm.
and the people in this country are like what 5-7 years behind the educational system when we're on a 6th grade level, they're like on 11th, 12th grade level, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah, so they're far advanced. Far advanced education system is, I don't know if it's because they go to school more or what, but they just are far more advanced. Because when I was in high school, and this was a while back, my valedictorian was a young lady from Pakistan. This was
mm-hmm.
1988. She was from Pakistan. And I thought to myself, gosh, she is so smart. A valedictorian was. They were real smart. But you're right.
Well, we're very smart, too. We just
yes,
aren't
we are, but we're still behind.
Emphasizing.
I'm not putting this country down, but we are still behind. And I like to know, what can America do to catch up, educational-wise?
Well, we have to start when the children are still small children. It's not going to happen overnight, but we have to start with Head Start and pre-K and kindergarten and, you know, and indoctrinating within our young people that, you know, the key to success is being educated and getting a good education at that. Everybody can't be a rapper. Everybody can't be a pro ball player. Everybody can't be, you know, these grand and glorious things that, you know, our young people aspire to do. We all need doctors, lawyers, engineers, managers and supervisors, industrial workers. We need people from all.
Architects.
Yeah, architects. Yeah. Whatever that discipline is. Everybody can't work in healthcare, you know. So we, you know, we as parents need to be plugged into our children's success too. Because we are our children's biggest role model. We're their first role models.
Yes.
It's not the Hollywood, it's not the Hollywood actors. It's not the ball players that should be their mentors, because they will let you down. You know,
yeah.
these ball players and these actresses and actors in Hollywood have their own share of problems. And so
yeah.
when these individuals have indiscretions or they fall from grace, you know, then our young people are devastated. It's like, okay, you know, you need to have role models that you can touch and feel and come in contact with.
Yes, and it does start with the parents. It really does. It all starts with the parents. Everything really does. It starts with the parents and God. It really does. You are so right. You are very right.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Head Start programs and things like that being cut out, and I'm certain too that it's really going to put us further behind other countries, and it's doing a disservice to the children in this country, because you know they're going to hurt the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, what do you think about them having? At any time, I'm going to ask it, any time that you know of, have they voted themselves a raise since President Barack Obama, Congress, has been in office?
Yes, I think I know of at least two times they voted themselves raises. When? I can't say right now. I'll have to research it.
Okay.
But they have that ability
to do that. That's what I'm looking at here. They have voted themselves a raise. I mean, that's absurd. All right.
They get free travel.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
They, you know, all, you know, they get a lot of perks. They get
but
free
they
medical
think it's
care.
Jealousy. They think it's jealousy on America's part. that they have much, some of them have as much as said that. I'm not saying that Congress was that have said it, but there are some people in politics that said they're just jealous. Isn't jealousy has nothing to do with it. If you can afford to pay taxes, you should be paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can afford to pay more taxes, then you should be paying them. I mean, it's like President Barack Obama said on inauguration night, I believe it was, the secretary should not be paying more taxes than her boss.
Well, he was speaking about Warren Buffett.
Yes, sir.
Who's
Warren Buffett.
A multi-billionaire. Over the last 6 years, Congress has voted itself a total of $16,700 in pay raises.
How much?
$16,700.
They've voted themselves $16,700 in pay. That's for each one of them.
Yeah, over the last 6 years. Because all congressmen are paid the same. But the Speaker of the House gets paid more. He gets over $200 a year. So since 1990, congressional pay has increased from $98,400 to $154,700 in 2003.
Mm, that's a lot.
They're making a nice piece of change.
Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's but they think it's jealousy. I think it's unfairness to the American people because we're the ones that are paying them that. The American people are the ones that is getting, who are paying them these salaries.
Well, it says here that for the fifth year in a row, lawmakers voted not to reject their automatic cost of living raise that raises their salary about $3,400 a year. So it's automatic.
Do you know the state of Florida, as far as I know, as of a week ago, has not had a pay increase? The people who work for the state of Florida have not had a pay raise in about 4 or 5 years, 6 years maybe. The people who work for the state, that's correction officers, people, you know, who work for the state of Florida, any state worker.
Well, in corporate America, you know, pay raises have been few and far between. Some people have experienced pay cuts.
But yet they can have a golden parachute in corporate America.
Well, those are the executives.
Right.
We're talking about the workers, the people actually doing the work, haven't gotten hardly any pay raises at all.
They can give themselves golden parachutes, but they cannot give pay raises to the people who work for them. Okay.
Yeah.
Golden parachutes can be anywhere from $10 million to $100
million.
Mm-hmm. All higher. So, yeah. All right. Well, so what do you think about what President Barack Obama said about minimum wage being raised automatically each year, cost of living raise?
Well, he's trying to help people to increase their standard of living because he knows that, and anybody that knows economics knows that, you know, if you want a decent place to stay and at least a decent car to drive, you can't do it making a minimum wage salary.
Yes.
You know, so you kind of caught in a catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at what even an apartment is going to cost you. Some apartments cost more than houses now per month to rent. And if you aren't making a substantial salary, how are you going to even afford to buy a house? Bank's not going to loan you the money for it.
All right.
So, you know, so it's a very vicious cycle that people that, you know, that are in those categories are living in.
Yes.
The previous administration's response to that was, go get another job.
In New York City, it's a very high state. It's a very high state to live in. $100,000 house or $150,000 house in Florida, or even $100,000 house in Florida or Georgia, is a $300,000 to $400,000 house in New York. So, you know, And minimum wage is what, $7.50, $7.65.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see how people are making it, because I'm barely making it myself. So I'm gonna be honest about it. But I keep praying.
And you're looking for ways to get ahead, like everybody
yes.
is.
I'm looking for ways to get ahead. Yes, I am. Legal ways to get ahead. Legal ways to get ahead.
Right. Right.
Yes. So, let's see. What else do I want to cover before the show ends? Because we have about 12 minutes. Do you want to go ahead and end the show? I was going to talk about I was going to talk a little bit about the chart I'm looking at. I was going to go over what happens in 2021 and 2000. You know, I'm going to go over a few things. Projected defense spending for Budget to Control Act. It talks about that for 2000, from anywhere from 1971 to 2021. It's going to drop from 5% to a little under 4.5%. Almost, yeah, 4.0% to be.
Yeah, but I don't believe this sequester thing is cast in concrete. I don't, I think these are projections and these are expectations that were put in place with the bill that was passed. But
do you think that they're going to change their minds? Can they change their minds at this point?
Well, the Congress has a tendency to tweak programs and play with them all the time. So, it's really unpredictable as to how all this is going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look in a crystal ball. You can't say with any certainty because Congress is unpredictable themselves. In 2014, which is when the next congressional elections come into play, we don't know how Congress is going to look. And so we don't know what their agendas are going to be.
All right. Well, that's good to know. That is good.
Well, I mean, when you look at history, Congress likes to play with programs.
Mm-hmm.
They like to revisit programs, and they like to tweak them. And so, of course, our president goes out of office at 2016. We don't know what changes are going to take place after the 2016 election either.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll get another president that
that's
has the same
to fight for America.
Mindset. Right. So, it's hard to make a call on that, because they do have the power to change laws. And one of the things they want to that certain voices in Congress want to do is overthrow the health care package, the Obamacare package. They still want to throw that out, which would hurt more people. So
now the Obamacare package, is that what you said? Is that health care?
Yeah, the health care package. You got forces in Congress that still want
to kill that. Suing. There are different states that are suing over there. I believe Florida was one of them. I know Florida was one of them. And our governor lost. He sued.
Yeah, so
he didn't want to have to accept that for the Floridians.
Well, it passed muster as far as the Supreme Court was concerned, to say yes, this program is good, it's constitutional, sound, it's constitutionally sound, and no, we're not going to overthrow it, which is what the Republican governors in this country was hoping would take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Florida and Alabama were. Definitely one of the states that sued. Yes. But things can turn around. Things can turn around. Yes, most definitely. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Minister Flack? Minister John Flack?
I just think that we in this country need to, to do better from the leadership of our country, even down to the to the person that's struggling out there. We just have to find ways to do better. Never forget to pray to our Heavenly Father on a regular basis, on a daily basis, that, you know, that he will supply all of our needs and even the desires of our hearts when we reach out to him. You know, we can't depend on the government to do anything for us. None of us can. We have to depend upon our Father God to do it for us. I've even said this. I said, I don't mind paying more taxes. And people said, what do you mean? If people are trying to get out of paying taxes, well, suppose if I'm paying more taxes, I'm making more money, okay? That's what I'm saying. I want to make more money like anybody else does. So, you know, of course, the more money you make, the more taxes you're going to pay. So it's not that I'm being silly or stupid. I'm just saying that, you know, the more you do, the more is required of you. You know, these guys didn't get to become millionaires because they thought small. They didn't become billionaires because they thought small.
Yes, that is true. They weren't all my. They thought huge. They thought. I have a young lady that's always telling me, I'm going to have my own TV show. I'm going to have 1 million, 1 to 2 million viewers. So I said, okay, go for it. She's not but 32 years old. So that's the kind of thinking that is positive. And
right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to advance in anything you do. You know, you want to make more money. You want to increase your territory.
Of course.
You want promotion on your job. I mean, you know, it's all about not being stagnant, not being at the same place all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about growing and advancing,
right.
And even if you need to go back to college, you know, I know people who are doing that, going back to college and finishing their education. You know, some people have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree already, and they're going back for a second degree in a different field so they can be self-employed. And that is smart. That is smart. You know, positivity is a good thing. Education is a good thing. Being positive is good. Not bad.
Right.
Yes.
So we definitely want to grow.
Sir?
We definitely want to grow.
Yes. And I think it's very admirable of the president to give back 5% a year. I think that equals to about $20,000, doesn't it?
Right.
That's good. That's $80,000 over a period of 4 years. That's good. And the presidents who gave back everything, that's great.
Right.
Yes.
They didn't have to, but they did.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have to, but they did. Yes, that is true. That is true. All right. I guess we're going to end the show. I've enjoyed this show so much with you, Minister Flack, that I did not take a break. I apologize. I know your throat is dry.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's okay.
I look forward to hopefully having you back next Sunday if it is possible. But I'll touch bases with you and see if that can happen.
Okay, we'll definitely look forward to that if it is. If my schedule is clear.
Yes, sir. I know you're a busy man, busy man. I thank you for coming back on the show. I miss doing Sundays with you, you know, because you're very intelligent. So I enjoy listening because I learned something too. Always learn something too.
I thank you for allowing me to be on your show.
Yes, and I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you, Minister Flack.
You're quite welcome.
Yes, sir. All right, listeners, would you like to say the name of your show, the name of your church, Minister Flack, or would you rather not?
Oh, the Body of Christ Church International, USA, in College Park, Georgia.
College Park, Georgia. All right. And your minister and the pastor there?
No. I'm not the pastor.
I'm saying the pastor, the head of, would you like to name them?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Joseph and Marjanita Ripley. They're our pastors, and our website is at www.bocciusa.org. BOCCIUSA.org.
I'm going to have to come there to that church one day and hear you speak and see what you do, just to be nosy.
Well, you'll hear him or her, so.
Okay.
More than likely.
All right, and I'll come to hear the word of God, too, and be known.
All right.
All right, thank you, Minister John Flack. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're quite welcome.
All right, listeners, tonight we had Minister John Flack. He's a very inspiring speaker. He's a very eloquent speaker, and he knows what he's talking about. So I enjoy the Sundays that he does, that he's able to come on. Like I say, he's a very busy man, but I learned something, too, and I hope you learned something, too. And like you said, continue to pray. All right, listeners, have a good night, and I hope you had a happy Sunday. And I'll be back on, hopefully, tomorrow night. Thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler.